How do you price an ad on your channel? That's probably the most common question we get from other creators. And it was the biggest question we had when we first started on YouTube. So we're hosting a live workshop on how to price yourself. This is everything that we've learned in the past 13 years of being on YouTube and our simple three-step process that'll help you develop concrete pricing. So if you want to join us for this live session, just go to colinandsamir.com/live. Enter your email and you'll get all the information about our live event on May 9th. All right, hope you enjoy this episode of The Colin and Samir Show.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Samir.
We're creators who've been working together for the last 10 years, and every Monday we break down the business of creators.
Today's episode is about Andrew Callahan. He's a creator who built the channel All Gas No Breaks all the way up to 1.7 million subscribers. And then he lost it all.
So today on the show, we're going to tell you the story of how he built back from scratch and how he's reinventing the news on YouTube. So Andrew Callahan is like a one-person news organization. He has a small team. He has two friends helping him. But all we see on his channel is basically him interviewing all types of people at some of America's craziest events.
He's dressed in like this oversized suit, which gives him this like funny anchorman kind of feel. Mm-hmm. And one of the most interesting things about Andrew is he barely speaks in his videos. And I think that's some of the most interesting parts of watching Channel 5.
We're used to being told the news. You can hear the voices in your head of the anchors on CNN, on Fox, because they're speaking all day, 24 hours long. Like, that's how we are used to consuming the news. He flips it on its head and just holds the mic and says,
"What's on your mind? What's on your mind? What's on your mind tonight, bro? What's on your mind? What's on your mind right now?"
Andrew's biggest X factor is silence. It's the best storytelling tool that he has that we don't see in news.
I don't know why they say crazy shit. I don't say anything. I just stand there with the microphone. I look at the camera and they keep going and going.
When was the first time you came across one of his videos?
I don't particularly remember the first video I watched. I do remember when he lost all of his subscribers and he lost his channel. That for me was like, oh, wow, that's awful. Like, this guy committed years of building this channel and now it's all gone. And we're going to get to that, just not right now.
I remember coming across his content just because they're titled in this way of these like wild environments that you want to learn about, like NASCAR events. And the thumbnails are always like some crazy looking person. And then he curates this experience of being on the ground at these events in a way that's funny. There's comedy, but then there's also this observational feeling where He shows you both sides of it. By the end of the video, you get to this point where you're like, I laughed. I kind of learned. Like, there's so many emotions that you go through watching his videos, just watching other human beings.
The editing is very intentional. It is edited in a way where it should be entertaining. They're doing crash zooms. There's sound effects. And even the placement of the interviews are really intentional. You'll get someone who's very conservative next to someone who's very liberal. And so what you're getting is entertainment, and then you get to come up with your own opinion. And you see in the comments, that's what people love about his work. Whereas the news right now is opinion as entertainment. Mm. And I think that's what people have been fed up with. I come for the news and all I'm getting is opinion.
With Andrew, he's showing us real life in a way that I can connect with. And a lot of news anchors are not doing that. They're treating it truly as like show business. Now, there's a really big lesson for all creators in how Andrew is creating his content. And that is show, don't tell.
Buy an oversized large suit.
That too. Show, don't tell suggests that rather than him standing in front of the camera and telling you about this event he's at or telling you what happened there, he's just showing you. One video that really stuck out to me from his recently is from the protests in Minneapolis after George Floyd was killed. Mm-hmm. This like visual of him on the ground with these people and the way they're talking to him, you're getting a real pulse of what's going on the ground. There's even a moment in that episode where he's just walking through the store that is like was just burned and was looted. He doesn't say anything. He's just letting the camera walk through it and experience it. And in that moment, for me, I felt like, whoa, I'm actually getting placed in this environment. I'm actually getting a feel for what this is like. And he's not saying if he agrees with it or doesn't agree with it. There's actually a ton of different opinions in that piece about what's going on.
And in his videos, he sometimes will show the traditional news camera and how far they are from the actual people who are being talked about. That video too was really significant for him because up until that point, he had pretty much just done comedy videos.
Yeah.
Where he is wearing that oversized suit, which even that suit stands for the take that he has on journalism, that he's almost like poking fun at what traditional journalism looks like. With that protest video, he's wearing his normal clothing.
If you ever see me with no suit on, with like a black sweatshirt like this, it means that I'm not there to make jokes. I want to be able to make actually comedic shit and then actually do real reporting at the same time.
That is his attempt. That was his attempt to start a serious dialogue. And now he's at this point where he can do both.
Yeah, and I think that's exemplified through his recent trip to Ukraine. He brings out the human element. It really does feel like the modernization of journalism in a way that we want it, which is let us observe. Let us observe other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then let us formulate our own opinions.
One of my favorite things about the Ukraine trip was that he sourced some of the help that he needed via his community. So if you're a fan of his, you're starting to be a part of the team. It is like community made content. And that's been integral to his story since the beginning.
Now, Channel 5 is not his first go at this.
If you go back to the beginning, he is a journalism student at Loyola University in New Orleans, making like traditional news pieces. He decides to hitchhike across America and he starts a zine.
The first time I went hitchhiking, I was like 19 after my freshman year of college and spent that entire summer with like a recorder at different bus stations and motels, just like talking to people, I guess on like the fringe of society, like real like road people.
He pitches the magazine to Vice and it's like a very ballsy move. He like walks into their office and it just kind of gives you a sense for who he is and the fact that he is kind of unapologetically just this guy and he's willing to go places and he's willing to put himself in situations that other people wouldn't put him in.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just have to say, like, if someone told me they were starting a magazine, I'd be like, okay. If someone told me they were starting a zine, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Zine
I'm
carries
in.
A lot of weight.
Zine is the coolest thing to start coming out of college. Zine.
What's the difference between a magazine and a zine?
Very different. Very
well,
different.
Well, one's hip, one's not.
A magazine.
But structurally, is there a difference?
Big difference. A magazine is what you find at the doctor's office in the waiting room. That's a magazine. A zine is delivered to you at a coffee shop.
Got it.
Totally different.
And that's it. Yeah.
Totally different.
And a zine is always limited run.
Limited run.
It may be a one of one.
It's less pages, and you don't actually open a zine. You just kind of have it with you and look at it.
He hitchhikes across the country telling these stories, turns it into a zine, and then ends up striking a deal with Doing Things Media, a company that has a bunch of popular meme pages, to fund it and turn it into a video series. They give him a salary, they fund his production expenses, they buy him an RV, and they agree to a revenue share on Patreon.
I was young, dude. I was 21.
Yeah.
Planning to hitchhike and make a documentary about it. And this company was like, I will buy you an RV and give you $45,000 a year.
Now, this deal feels pretty exciting for a young creator. You get paid a guaranteed amount of money to make the show you want to make. And Doing Things had told him he would have creative freedom. He just had to make a certain amount of content.
And for a period of time, it's great. He turns the show All Gas, No Breaks into a hit show, a hit YouTube channel, over 1 million subscribers. But what ends up happening is that as he starts getting into more political content, Doing Things wants him to scale back and just focus on the comedy stuff, the party stuff. He's not interested in that.
Doing Things is like, hey, we make memes.
Yeah, like we have meme pages just about dogs.
We're not trying to make discourse happen here. We're just trying to make people laugh.
Yeah, so they want him to scale back. He's not interested in that. And at this time, he signs on to make a movie with Doing Things as a partner.
As I started shooting for the movie like full time, I wasn't able to make Instagram and YouTube and Patreon videos because I was overloaded. They were like, no, you got to make more. And so basically I was like, all right, how about this? If you guys want me to make more videos while I'm making a movie for you guys, I need more than 20%. They said, no.
Okay.
And then so I said, okay, I'm not going to make any videos. I kind of like went on strike for All Gas, No Breaks.
And eventually they lock him out of the accounts and he doesn't even have access to the All Gas, No Breaks social accounts, the YouTube channel, everything, and it goes dark.
Now, there's one very critical piece of information that Andrew didn't realize when he signed this deal. Doing Things Media owned 100% of the intellectual property of all gas, no breaks.
I didn't get it, capital S, like stolen. I signed a shitty contract when I was 21, which I didn't realize gave me no IP.
And technically, he was an employee. He signed an employment contract.
For all creators, this is a very important thing to recognize. When you get employed by a company like this, you typically sign a work-for-hire agreement. That means anything you make, any idea you have, is property of your employer. Not too dissimilar to if you're an engineer at a software company like YouTube and you make a feature for YouTube, you don't own that feature. That's property of YouTube. And that's really confusing to creators and to our, I think, our industry as a whole, because we're dealing in these intangible goods, which are ideas. You have a great idea and you're like, that's my idea.
And in this instance, you may be the face of the idea.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more difficult. Right? Sean Evans came up with the idea for Hot Ones, but Complex owned it and they still do.
The key learning for creators here in Andrew's story is A, get a lawyer or get someone to read your contracts before you sign a contract like this. And B, you know, the trade-off of employment is ownership. If you want to be truly independent, be independent.
Luckily for him, because of his format and because of the relationship he built with his audience, he was able to start again.
All Gas No Breaks goes dark, and Andrew relaunches with Channel 5 and supported by Patreon and his community coming over and being like, yeah, we're with you. We're not with All Gas No Breaks. We're with you.
And the fact that he built back to almost the same amount of subscribers within a year is truly one of the most incredible things that's happened in media on YouTube. I mean, it's unheard of.
Yeah, you take the L, but at the same time, that arrangement led me to this current situation. So I guess read your contracts, but also, like, I'm not that pissed at the company. I mean, what do you expect a meme company to do? Yeah. They literally make a living off of taking people's memes and somehow trademarking them.
And there's a lot of learning lessons in that story, but one of the primary ones is that people follow people. That's a really important thing to learn for the whole industry, is that everyone went to follow Andrew. When we talk about the news industry, of course, there's these big networks, but it's actually a lot of the hosts that were engaging with on those networks. And then you take it a step further when it went to YouTube and social, where right now, the way I understand the news is through a mix of Andrew Callahan, Johnny Harris, Cleo Abram. Like, these are individual people that we're learning the news from, not networks. And that is what YouTube has unlocked.
What's interesting is that when asked about what he wants his legacy to be, he didn't say reinventing journalism.
Yeah.
He actually said he just wanted people to travel the US and learn about all of the different subcultures that are there, that hopefully he inspires people to get in a van and travel like he did.
It's not so much that people come out the jump like hating different people, but it's hard to break out of unless you travel and talk to people that you might not be used to talking to, as long as you're are safe and able to do it. Obviously, with the body I've been given, it's easier for me to talk to people than maybe other people and most people. But I would just encourage.
I appreciate your careful language.
Well, it's just true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not telling everyone, plunge into the heart of Alabama. Fuck it. You know, I'm just saying, even if you are very politically minded, get to know your enemy a little bit. And just travel the country before you go internationally.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
All right, thanks for listening to this episode of The Colin and Samir Show. We'll be back later this week with an episode of Creator Support, where we answer your questions.
If you want to submit questions for us to answer, you'll have to subscribe to The Publish Press. We'll put the link in the description to this episode, but you can also go to thepublishpress.com.
All right, ask us your questions, and we'll see you back here on Thursday.